The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, everyone. This is Karen the Scarlet Cougar.
And this is Jeff, X-Force 11.
Welcome to another episode of Gotham Undercover. It's episode 88 of Gotham Undercover. We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
That's right, and we're discussing One Bad Day. So the characters all had a bad day.
They sure did.
In Gotham, but we had a good one because the ride was great. And I really think it kind of plays off our writer-director combo here. We've got Nathan Hope, who's done work on Gotham, Lucifer, and CSI New York. And the good news is he's also writing the season finale.
That is good news.
Mm-hmm. And we have Rob Bailey, who was the director, who's done work on Gotham, Criminal Minds, and also CSI New York. So they kind of have that kind of in common, but they work really well together, and we got an amazing episode this week.
Yeah, I'm guessing they've worked together before because it really seemed very cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that the writing he wrote to Rob's directorial strengths and maybe, you know, back and forth, because he really dragged everything out of that direction. The cinematography in this was so great. I mean, especially the scenes where Bruce is following Alfred's visage, and then when he's having the visions, and I mean, that was just amazing. So kudos to both of them for this episode.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, how much we loved it. Let's talk about exactly how much we loved it. So I gave it 9.5 straight razors, which is gross, but still.
Yeah. And I gave it 9.5. You chose wisely, Harvey.
And he did.
Yes, he did.
Thank goodness for that. However, those bombs are still around.
Well, Harvey was like, don't call off the evacuation until they're all, you know, put away.
Right. And we had a reminder in this episode, he has a backup plan for everything.
That's right. And he's got some extra help now, too.
He does. Yeah, I still think we're going to have some bad days.
Yeah, some bad days ahead.
Okay, so my storyline titles are Disarming Gendarme, which would be Harvey, Butler, Cutler, Mud in Your Eye, that is Alfred, a little bit on the, you know, pudding and pie sort of rhyme there. And then a few little side stories with the Rogues Rebuffed, that it's Oswald and his gang. boy, what a plan, right? leaving the city. And a new cat is dawning? Can we talk about that real quick? Because I know a lot of people are upset by this. They think that she's off the show now and Selena is no more. I have to say, knowing her as well as I do, I think the opposite is true. I think that this is her origin story.
Yeah, I can really see that. I see what they're going for and why they did what they did and how they kind of channeled the Killing Joke into this episode and the push there. But I agree with you. I think it will be a change, and a change in direction and a change in the character somewhat, but I think it's her origin story, like you said, because it's going to take that push to get her. We've had these characters, and they've been kind of the proto versions of the characters, and it's taken a push to get them over the edge to be the characters that we know from the lore. And I think this is just a push in that direction, the big push in that direction. So I'm not worried about her not being on the show anymore. I'm just seeing this as, okay, this is how she takes that step and becomes the Catwoman that we really know.
Yeah. Do you think that Ivy might come into play here?
We talked about that a couple episodes ago, of whether we're going to see Ivy again this season. And I, at that time, speculated that it would be maybe in the season finale. And I just don't know. I don't think so, just looking at what I've seen and heard and things like that. So it may be one of those things where she can come alongside and help, but I don't know if it would be in the next episode. I just don't know. I can definitely see that as a possibility. I just don't know if they can get that in there in the next episode.
Right, right. They need to heal her in some way. Mm-hmm. And one of my thoughts was, you know, someone owes her big, and that would be Ivy.
Yeah, they would have to have some patching up, because, you know, yeah, they left it, get away from me, and, you know, you're warned next time I see you, it's not going to be good. So I just don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I don't know how it's going to happen. Maybe she's just not dead yet.
Yeah, yeah. That's not what it looks like, but, you know, we just don't know. I mean, yeah.
Right. Right. Or, you know, Bruce has that Lazarus Pit stuff still, right?
Maybe they have a little bit of it left. We just don't know. And
Bruce.
That scene, I just...
Heartbreaking.
I mean, it was beautiful, because you had Alfred being back and safe, and you have this great conversation, you know, and he was even happy that Selina was there. You have this very good conversation between Bruce and Selina there, the kiss, and all of a sudden we get, oh my goodness, uh-huh. Comes Jeremiah and ruins it all.
Big time ruins
it's like,
it all.
No!
Yeah, he honestly, it shocked me. I mean, I knew something had to happen in the mm-hmm. last minute, but that, I was not expecting that whatsoever.
No, I was looking at the time, I'm like, okay, we're going to get some conversation here. And then I'm like, I fully didn't expect any more of him after the scene with Roz. And I'm like, okay. And then it's like, oh no.
Exactly. So yeah, we have some healing to do at the very least, but I don't think she's gone. And Roush is back.
He's back. He has seen his opportunity to make his vision come true, and he sees Jeremiah as that conduit, and he's going to take full advantage of it. I loved his little appear, disappear all around the room.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah's like, you're behind me, aren't you?
Such a trope. You're behind me, aren't you, is kind of a big trope. But I loved it. I honestly loved it. In this case, it was great because, you know, it's Jeremiah and he really needs to get taken down a peg or two, right?
Yeah, I appreciated his planning things out and thinking about things and the character development. But yeah, I was so glad to see him taken down a peg or two this episode, with things not going the way it should be. But then I'm like, oh goodness, these two together, that is bad news for Gotham.
It is. It just in time to set up for
No Man's Land
and next season as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But we still have the bombs, and of course, Rachel would definitely know what to do with those.
Right. And the thing about it is we've got the setup of those bombs are still around. They're not all accounted for yet. They're not all fixed yet. And the fact that the population at least is a bit reduced because there have been a number of hours since the announcement to evacuate. So the city is less populated than it was. So there's the whole setup of, okay, the city's less populated, so the U.S. government can write it off a little easier. So it just sets it up in so many ways.
It certainly does. It certainly does. I'm guessing a lot of people were like, what is that? Now they're not going to do the no man's land. Oh, yeah, I think they really are going to do the no man's land thing. So, yeah. And there's this whole thing with James going to Lee. And, you know, he's getting checked out by Lee and he tells her to leave the city. And they have a conversation about the Riddler and leaving Gotham. And then he has the chat with Ed. And what a triangle that is.
I looked at that and Jim is seeing what the Riddler's thinking. I mean, he really sees to the heart of it when he says, you're still looking for validation that your relationship with her is what you think it is. And you need me to give you that validation and I'm not going to give it to you. But he's not going to qualm over the fact of that because he sees the needs of the city being greater. And so I enjoy that they can hash through that and then he finds out what Riddler has discovered and then takes Riddler out so he can leave. But that in conversation between Jim and Lee of, you know, he's really looked at, yes, you may not be the Lee that I thought you would or even really want you to be, but I still care for you and I want the best for you. So you need to leave the city alone. I'm not going to pursue you. Just get out, but don't take Riddler. And you have Riddler watching over there in the corner. And you just wonder, okay, what's going on? I mean, I love that dynamic between the three of them because that's tension done right.
It is.
Because you have the romantic tension, you have the past relationship, the wanting the best for the people. It is just so well written, and it's definitely not the angsty stuff that we might be used to from
right.
From maybe the CW
There's
shows.
There's no CW angst, that's for sure. And it's different than a regular romantic triangle because
right.
James still has feelings for her, but it's not a I want to win you back. It's a I care about you, so get away from the city.
Right.
And Ed sees that as a threat, but not because James wants Lee for himself, but because he's trying to get Lee away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this dynamic of just this animosity between the three of them, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, but he's calling out Lee in another breath by telling Ed, she wants something from you, and as soon as she's done, she is out. So, you know, there's no love lost there either.
No.
You know, he might have feelings for her, but he's also telling Ed, I'm saving you some hassle. And yeah, a lot of it's selfish that he wants her to be free
right.
to leave the city. But there is still that he knows that deep down she's probably using him for something. It was just an interesting triangle between the three of them because there was lots of push and pull, and all three of them have convictions that are mm-hmm. butting up against each other, and it's gonna break. Probably all three bands are gonna break.
Yeah, because I just Lee cares too much for the people of the Narrows, and she knows if she leaves, nobody is going to look out for them the way that she would. And so she's not going to leave. And so it's just no-win situation. I don't see any of these, like you said, any of these relationships lasting. They're all going to be at odds with each other, and it's just hard to see because you have built those interactions with each other and trust, and it's all breaking apart. And that really makes sense when you look at no man's land and what's coming, but it's just hard to see because we care about those characters.
Yeah, and all three of them are going to stay in the city, and that tension is going to be thicker than mud. Mm-hmm. And you know they're going to butt up against each other when the city is separated. So
I really, really like it. One of the images in the promo images for next week is Jim sitting on his desk in the GCPD. And it's amazingly iconic to who his character is. I think the photographer just did an amazing job of capturing the spirit of who Jim Gordon is. He's sitting in the midst of the GCPD, and the Joker Jerome graffiti still on the wall. You've got outside authorities, you know, standing at the door, but it just sums up who he is, and it just really speaks to his character. And this is going to be a forge. This storyline is going to be a forge that forges a lot of these characters into what we're used to seeing, but it's going to be a hard forge.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the picture. I was on the Fox site while we're talking. I'm looking at that picture right now, and he is literally standing in a beam of light as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole GCPD is kind of, you know, hazy and dark, and mm-hmm. and there is a beam of light like down on his face and on the side of him. And it's like, you know, he's the guardian angel of the city in this shot. And it is real. He's got his hands on his hips, like, I'm here to save the city. And it's really, I agree with you. It's 100% an iconic shot of him. Crazy good. I like the shot of Barbara, too, where she's standing with everyone all around her. And she's holding, I guess, a gun or a knife. It's hard for me to tell, like, but that. Yeah. And I guess it's sirens as well, with the bar behind her, and such great pictures. And there's some other stuff that is super revealing, that, if you go and look at the pictures, I'm not going to say it here on the podcast because I know some of you don't like spoilers, but if you don't mind spoilers, wow, there's a couple pictures that are like, okay, there's some iconic stuff coming up
in this
episode, like, you know, really iconic stuff. So, let's go to Rogue's Rebuffed here. Oswald has a plan.
He better have a plan because Butch is just about done.
He is done. I mean, by the end of this, he's done. He's out.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten me anywhere. You know where he is. Mm-hmm. And you've been, I mean, that's the end for him. You've been using me this whole time. You could have gotten me to him this whole time, and you haven't. He's done.
Yeah. So it was interesting. They pulled out all of Jonquil's fingernails and got the scoop on Jeremiah's plan, and they're gonna go steal basically the bomb brain and hold it for ransom so that they can demand money. And you know, it's a seemingly good plan. Anybody other than maybe Jeremiah, it might have worked, but
right. But Jeremiah has contingencies upon contingencies, and he doesn't care about people very much.
Which no, no.
They didn't take into account, did they?
No, they just don't know him, and they don't know that he doesn't feel like he's got any equals other than maybe Bruce. But, I mean, you know, he's not above just like, I mean, we see him just, you know, incinerate a room full of his followers in this episode, and he leaves after he blows Junkler and the bomb brain up. He leaves the rest to protect him while he escapes. I mean, he's got his plans and he's going to go through with it.
Yeah, I have plans and I'm not going to let you guys get in my way. And I loved even the sound effects when he blew up. That guy was like, I mean, it was really gross and awesome.
And Barbara's just like, let's get the controller. Get the money. It'll be easy.
Yeah. not so much. And I loved the line when they got back as well, when Barbara said, if I guessed how many people I was going to kill today.
It's a lot less than I thought.
Right. So, yeah. Babs, stabby Babs, not so stabby, but probably in her head she's very stabby right now. And I think Butch is the maddest amongst all of them.
Yeah, he is. And it's frustrating because we know that he knows now that he's been used for leverage. He knows that Penguin used him to get the sirens to help. And that's the only reason that he's been holding out, you know, and it's just like, you've been using me and I need this information. And now he's got Tabitha and Butch saying, we can make Hugo do what we want. We don't need the money.
Right. Yeah. And Oswald is definitely always in for himself. But
yeah,
I think he's going to end up really regretting that move.
Yeah, he is. He's had to play quick in his thinking, but it's just not quick enough. And he's going to be really left out if something doesn't happen to force these people together to mend some bridges. But it's going to be rough for him because I think he's been burning them.
burning bridges. Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen next episode.
Foreshadowing.
Right? Yeah, there's going to be some tough times ahead for them. And where does Lee and Ed come into this? Because we know that knowing these guys, this rogues gallery, they're probably all going to see each other a little bit in the next episode. I'm assuming, because that's how a finale goes usually, right?
usually.
So they're all going to have to come together maybe to defeat Jeremiah, or at least push him back into the shadows.
Right.
However, I think Jeremiah's going to win.
I think the plans that he has coordinated with Roz is going to be a win for them. I agree. I think that's the way it's going to go. It's not going to be as full as he would have liked, but as far as our heroes are concerned, yeah, I think it's going to be a win for Jeremiah. And I don't know if you got a chance to see the video that Daryl posted in the Facebook group this week.
I did.
That was an amazing interview.
It was.
And giving insight to how he just takes those characters and thinks about how it's going to be played and adapts his acting. And so it just really makes me want to see more of him with this character. So, what happens? I don't know what's going to happen, but I really want to see more because of what he's bringing to the character.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, that is it's an interview that Cameron Monaghan did with, who is it? Build?
Yeah, Build. It's a UK site thing, okay. And so, it's an excellent interview. You should check it out.
Put the video on our blog post.
Yeah, I'll throw it in there. It was, actually, they gave some footage from this episode, so it was very good. But it gives you a lot of insight into who he is. But yeah, I definitely see him getting some of the victory here. Maybe not going exactly like he wanted, but it's not going to be good.
No, it's not. I do think that there are going to be some, there's going to be some aftermath stuff that makes us hopeful, but I really do think that he is going to get his plan to work. And that is exciting to me, to be honest. I mean, I love that they are setting this up like this. Even if they don't get the next season, knock wood, it's still going to be a cool way to end it, I think.
Definitely.
Okay, let's talk about Harvey.
Yeah, I really, really appreciated this episode on his behalf, because we see the guy that we have seen before, where he doesn't want to take that leadership upon himself, but when rubber comes to the road, he is going to step up and be who the GCPD needs. And I just really appreciated him not giving up hope on Jim, of really kind of keeping them focused, and thankfully he's got Harper and Lucius to come alongside and back him up. But I just really appreciated the story arc that he got in this episode that really let him shine after what we saw earlier in the season. So it's a return. It really helped him grow and get back in those good graces. I think he's one of those guys who, if you let him know where he needs to operate and give him the, you know, the means to do that, he can run with it. But if you take him outside of that zone, he's going to trip up. And he was put back in that zone this episode, and he really ran with it.
He wasn't the Captain Gotham wanted, but he was the Captain Gotham needed.
There you go.
That's the trope, right? I mean, that's he was Batman this week, essentially. He disarmed our bombs, and I loved, absolutely adored, when he walked back in to absolute silence.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, what's going on? And they just all cheered for him, because that is long overdue in his case.
Yeah, definitely.
I know he's a jerk a lot of the times, but he's also really done a lot of stuff that he didn't want to do. In support of this city, and he did not get rewarded for that. In fact, he pretty much got punished for it.
Yeah.
And to come back to that after having this horrible, horrible day, it was just very rewarding to watch, I thought.
Yeah, it was, to see him kind of interacting with Bruce and getting the information there, of being disappointed at the fact that Wayne Industries helped made these bombs, but that gave him insight into a solution, of encouraging the folks that Jim, it's okay, Jim's going to come back, to, you know, getting the troops to go handle things when the clock tower was blown. I just really liked it. And but, you know, you again see him confronted with Jeremiah and not knowing what to do, but yet being realistic about things, you know, saying, well, 6 hours is just not enough time,
right,
you know, to get everybody
and
out.
If he only knew that he wasn't gonna get 6 hours. Yeah, and right at the last minute, Lucius says, you don't have 6 hours. You got to get this done right now. Do it now.
Oh.
And then when he shows back up to get all the accolades that he never, ever got. It was just such great writing to give.
Yeah.
Because, hello, he needs it.
Yeah, he does. He does. And I appreciate the fact that when Jim does show back up and they're looking at everything, planning everything, and Harvey says, you know, I need to do this, Jim recognizes that he does need to do that, that he's got to take lead on this, that he can be better suited to do that while he does the news conference and those type of things, of letting him have that, and letting him be the hero that way. So, yeah, I really appreciated
partners. Again, mm-hmm. I mean, even Definitely. Though they're not technically partners, they are still partners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's perfection.
Yeah,
okay, so down to the main story. Right?
Mm.
And this is pretty much just the mind F that happens throughout this episode.
We talked in the beginning, talking about the writing and the direction. The fact that it was written so that Jeremiah had made a conditioning maze for Bruce to go through with these images, with his words over the top, with Scarecrow's fear toxin coming in, the lighting on everything of him being distraught and having his hands in his hair, the lighting so his gloves glowed purple, just so good. I mean, it was amazing, the cinematography, especially in this sequence. But even earlier on, I don't know if you noticed it, when you had the news reporter on the news on the TV, how the screen image almost whitened her face and greened her hair. It was giving like a Joker overlay to her, even though she hadn't been gassed. But the cinematography in this May sequence was just amazing. It took me back to, what was it? I forget, was it Room 23 on Lost, where, you know, they would get conditioned that way. You know, it takes you back to, you know, so many tropes that way, where that your mind is just being broken down. And Jeremiah was just, just the planning and insight that went into trying to break Bruce was amazing.
Yeah, well, he's a planner. Mm-hmm. And as we know from the Joker, at least, you know, from our canon that we know, is the Joker, he knows Batman and Bruce. And this is his thing, is that he plans, he tailors every punishment to its victim. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he considers Bruce his best friend, I mean, that is a huge Joker thing, that considers Batman like a friend in a twisted, sick way.
Right. The goal here was, he said he was envious of what Bruce was going to go through, and his thoughts were, I'm pushing you over the edge. I'm freeing you up to be who you need to be, and give you that push over the edge.
And if you don't survive, then you weren't meant to do it anyway.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Because that's how the Joker works. And again, he doesn't value life. Now, he might value Bruce's more than other people's, because I think he's almost like an experiment to him at this point. Like, you're my friend, but I want to see what this does, because I think you have strength, and I want to know how much strength you have.
Right.
So I'm going to push and push and push and push and push. And, you know, this might be me playing with an ant, but it also might be me making that ant into, like, you know, the giant creature that's going to stomp me. So he honestly, he doesn't know how it's going to end up, I don't think. But if he ends up killing Bruce, water under the bridge. Who cares? I think he will a little care, you know, care a little bit, but he's a psychopath. So, you know, he won't really. There'll be a part of him that goes, oh, well, he was my friend. Whoops. But, you know, the two sides of the same coin. It's always that dynamic between the two of them. And I think he honestly thinks that since he was exposed to the gas and it only made him better, that when he does this to Bruce, it will only make him better, and that they will forge this partnership and friendship, and it will get stronger and stronger. And again, if it doesn't work that way, then so be it. You know, he's willing to roll the dice on that.
Right. And so that, it kind of leads into the whole reason that Roz was able to get through to him, because he said, you know, it's not just about Gotham, it's also about Bruce. He realizes that, you know, I can't put it into words, but he needs that who Bruce is, and he, both he and Roz want Bruce to step up and to come to this new level, and so he's got to be willing to do what it takes to get him to that level, even if that means that he's going to have an adversary.
Right, and if this gas has some sort of lasting impression on him, like it did on Jeremiah, yeah, that could definitely mold him more into Batman, that, you know, there's some sort of lasting effect on him. Because as we know, Bruce is not 100% stable. There's always an underlying, he's broken.
Yeah, you know, he even mentions it to Selina in this episode that when his parents were killed, it pushed him over the edge. And, you know, you've got that push, and then you've got this push, and you've got those other pushes where he's kind of rocking back and forth, and he's going to find that Batman balance of being able to use it and go with both sides of the, you know, the issue, but he's going to be teeter-tottering back and forth until he can really find that balance.
Yeah, and he has to shut all that away, which again makes him very broken. I mean, there's really no other word for it. Is when you have to shut away those emotions and not feel them in order to survive, that just breaks you. And that's Batman.
Right. And that leads into the people that he pulls around himself. Mm-hmm. They're people who have experienced brokenness that was not their own fault. I mean, you look at the Robins that he pulls in, the outsiders. You look at those people that he really calls his family. They're people who have undergone traumas and undergone great things, and they're broken, and he may not be able to totally fix them, but he's going to give them some stability and the place where they can move forward on a better footing than he had. And so that really shows who he is as a character. Is he recognizes that, you know, he has to deal with this, but he maybe can help other people move beyond where he's at.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Alfred went through the same thing as him. Losing Bruce's parents was as difficult on him as it was, I think, on Bruce.
Yeah.
And Lucius was betrayed by Bruce's father and Wayne Industries. So there's that. Selina.
Yeah.
Betrays him over and over, but she's also very damaged in her own life. All the Robins, like you said, they all have damaged stories. And yeah, he has to do that because those are the only people that not only he can trust, but that he has any kind of connection with. He can't connect with anyone who's normal. You know, quote unquote normal. so that is just so deep and insightful about him, that he's numb, but he's also super broken, super dysfunctional, and he makes his own dysfunctional family because of that. And I loved at the end of this episode, before Jeremiah shows back up, it's like his own little dysfunctional family happy dinner, you know, comes together. He and Alfred and Selina, they're gonna have a dinner, and it's just weird because you would never guess the three of them would be happy and having dinner. And yeah, so it's just I hurt for him so much.
Yeah, the whole process of having to go through that huge maze and seeing those images of this guy who has basically been his father the past few years, being tortured and being desperate to find him, and then he finds him, and the guy's insane. He's cutting his lips, and he's attacking Bruce, and it's down to the fact of, okay, I can't fight him. I'm about to be killed by him, and he sees him shot, and he's about over the edge, and it was all that gas and basically a lookalike.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my gosh, how devious is Jeremiah? The planning and the, oh my.
I know. Oh. I know. And I feel like it damaged me a little to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, this is the guy, because we're seeing it through Bruce's right. eyes. We're seeing Alfred, who has loved him and cared for him and wanted the best for him. And he's just over the edge and insane and attacking the guy he loved. You know, it's just like, what? No. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was hurting, and I can't imagine what that would have felt like. So.
And then you followed up with Selena getting shot. I mean, golly.
Next week's going to be crazy town. That's all I can say is,
yeah,
they have built this up to a pinnacle, and there's no place to go but down the other side of the roller coaster next week. And I'm holding on for dear life. That's all I can say.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a very exciting episode. I mean, it is so hard to try to take, you know, I know some people watch the first watch and then they take notes the second watch. But me, I'm in the habit of taking notes the first watch. But my fingers are flying the last few episodes trying to keep up because it's just so good. I want to capture it all. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see the reasoning. We can jump to this bit of renewals talk now because I think we need to. Because the Hollywood Reporter came out with an article today, and it says, you know, they're talking about why so many shows on Fox were axed, and some of it was football, you know, a lot of it was adding football. Right. But they say, of the bubble shows, Lethal Weapon is the priority as Warner Brothers TV are trying to hammer out a deal with a new star before Monday's upfront presentation. Should that not work, Fox would renew the studio's DC Comics drama instead, sources say. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I really don't. When Lethal Weapon's in season 2 and you're having to recast one of the co-leads.
Yeah. What's the point?
And Gotham's in season 4, the writing has just gotten so good. It has just come up so much, and it is so well acted. There's nobody wanting to leave. Everybody enjoys it. And it's just like, why? I mean, I don't understand the reasoning. I really, really don't. I mean, looking at other things, because it's talking about Warner Brothers TV, and I'm like, yeah, I guess that they could technically put Gotham on the DC streaming service. But I just don't know if they've got the money to do that.
Yeah, and the issue is money.
Yeah, because, if they put it on the DC streaming service, you're going to cut some of the costs because Fox is having to pay to use the characters because there's no DC, you know, relation like the CW. But that still does not, you know, you've got the production cost and the writing cost of such a quality show. I just don't understand. I mean, it boggles my mind. And
not just that, but how much buzz does Gotham get? I mean, so many people are interviewing the cast and saying how amazing they are. And
Well, you look at the Twitter feed, and we're, you know, you talk about, I've seen the articles, okay, we've been moved so that we're competing with so many, you know, big shows. And I'm looking at the Twitter feed for Gotham on my tweet deck, and it's flying by so fast, you can't even see anything. I mean, we trended at number 8 this year, this past week. And even this weekend, we've been trending.
That's because how they people have been check on how a show is doing. By the internet savvy people that watch
it. and even the people that I know that have enjoyed Lethal Weapon are saying, if you're going to recast, cancel the show because you can't carry on with a recast. And I you know, so it just boggles my mind. I mean, I just
And I don't begrudge that show. I really don't. I know it has a loyal following as well, but I mean, the fact that they fired one of the leads, hello, it really does just not make sense to me. So, I mean, if it's going to be an either or thing, it's a no brainer to me.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway,
so
We are recording, just for your information, we're recording Saturday afternoon, mid-afternoon, so there's been no news, so by the time this comes out, there's going to be some news.
Hopefully, either way. Now, I just literally checked over into my email because I get updates in my email and nothing's there, so.
Right, I've got TV Line up on refresh. Yeah. You know,
now, one thing I am happy about, there was a huge bloodbath yesterday. This is Friday. Like, hundreds. It felt like hundreds of shows were canceled. One of my favorites was actually saved again for the second year in a row. Brooklyn Nine-Nine got picked up by NBC. I was so happy. I mean, I almost did a little happy dance in my house, because that I love that show so much, and to see that it got picked up, I was thrilled by that. So it's a good thing that people are seeing that you know, when a fandom gets behind a show and says, no, don't take my show off the air, that actually, you know, there are networks that say, okay, I see you.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I appreciate CW of picking up iZombie again. Yep. Because I really, really enjoy that show. Yep. And it's a good show. It's fun. It's got a good group of, you know, audience, and it's got a good slot, you know, as far as, you know, what it feels in those 13 episode runs. I'm really, really hoping somebody picks up The Expanse, because in my mind, that this season has been phenomenal. They've just upped their game, and so I'm hopeful that somebody will pick that up.
So many people.
But yeah. Well, I mean, but, you know, like I said, I think hopefully the networks are really seeing that people really care, and it's not just about advertising, that there's something beyond advertising. You know, they've got to take into consideration, because we live in a day and an age of everyone has content channels and things can be moved around. And so, you know, you've got to think, okay, how can we best build our channel? And are we going to, we can't, you know, basically do what they did. Fox can't do what they did to Firefly.
Right.
And other shows. You know, this is a different day and age. There were people that were, you know, balking at that, and but this is a different day and age. And granted, every show can't be saved. But I'm all for shows being on better networks, because I am one of the ones who said that, you know, Sci-Fi didn't pick up BSG Blood and Chrome. And I'm one that said, you know, BBC America should have picked it up, because they would have been a better fit. But, you know, it's one of those days and age, we can hope that, you know, our shows find the right home, because they do have the good audiences.
Right. And I am still upset about Lucifer, but You know, I have to shrug and say it had a good run. This last season was not particularly strong. It was good, but it wasn't great. And if it doesn't get picked up, I'll be sad, but it's not like other shows that I will actually physically cry if they don't get picked up. I'll miss seeing Tom Ellis, that's for sure, in that show. But and I have to hope that he told Chloe that he was actually Lucifer. Because, hello. But anyway, so yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed, guys, if you haven't heard about the renewal by the time this comes out. So yeah. And I think that's all now that we've gotten completely off topic. I think we've covered the whole episode.
Somewhat.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to feedback. Since it's not my soundboard, I have to wait. Chris says, hello, fellow Gothamites. Gotham City has its own Big Ben. Neat. Didn't Jack Nicholson's Joker wear a hat similar to Jeremiah's? I think so.
Pretty close.
I can't believe I never noticed before, but Tabby on Gotham and Maze on Lucifer could have been separated at birth. Yeah, they kind of could. That's a compliment because other than Lucifer, Maze is my favorite character on that show, especially when she's with Trixie. Wait a minute. This isn't the Lucifer podcast, so moving on. Update. Farewell, Lucifer. You were enjoyed. I guess this proves that the devil himself has nothing on TV execs when it comes to evil. Not at all happy about this, he says. Jeremiah went full Killing Joke tonight. Mm-hmm. She's with me in every way. Thank you for putting that image in my mind, Ed. I don't care what the showrunners say. If he's insane like the Joker, if he's obsessed with Bruce Wayne, Batman like the Joker, if he has green eyes like the Joker, and if they give him an iconic Joker storyline, I'm calling him the Joker. If he acts like a duck, if he quacks like
a duck.
Right? You're behind me, aren't you? Yeah, we mentioned that. That was funny. Ed watching Jim and Lee was very reminiscent of the Phantom of the Opera watching Raoul and Christine on the roof of the opera house. Yeah, especially like through the little grate and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That caused the Phantom to fly into a homicidal rage. Let's see how Ed reacts. Dot, dot, dot. That ending better be the fear toxin. Oh, see? Mm. There's a good way to explain that, right?
We'll see.
Harvey gets the Batmobile keys this week, partially because of the scene with the beers last week. I'm guessing that's where he pulled the beer out of the casket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. And partially because I felt so happy for him when the GCPD gave him a round of applause. And if I give it to Jeremiah, I will have to change the award name to the Velasca Brothers Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Another strong episode building towards what should be a strong season finale. I give it 9 out of 10 maniacally laughing Alfreds. And Fox, I said season finale, not series. No news as of the time I type this, so if we hear by recording time, if Fox canceled Gotham, really? Lucifer and Gotham? What did I do to you, Fox? May you endure one bad day every day for the rest of your days, and then may Ra's al Ghul revive you in the Lazarus pits to endure another lifetime of one bad days. Oh well, at least YouTube Red had the good sense to renew Cobra Kai. And then his other reaction. If they renew Gotham, read as Adam West Batman. Good work, citizens. I knew Batman could count on you. Be good, stay safe, and when driving, remember to use your left and right turn indicators. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And we have some audio feedback from our Eye in the Sky. Let's hear what she has to say.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. X-Force, Scarlet Cougar, are you all right? Silver Fox, Chris, do you read? This is a very bad day. This is a very bad day. There's a bomb, many bombs. We must evacuate the city. Please be careful. Please stay safe. I can't trust my own mind right now. The Scarecrow is spreading his fear toxin. Oh, I hope Chris gives the keys to the Batmobile. to Harvey because he's amazing. Tell me what I saw happen to Selena didn't really happen. Oh my goodness, this city is stressing me out. But I promised Harvey I'd help with the evacuation. I gotta fly. 10 out of 10, identical circuits. Be careful. Please evacuate. Stay safe and have a super week. Green butterfly out.
I think we need a green butterfly to come and save us.
Ooh, yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Yeah. That, and she called it. He gave the keys to Harvey this week.
Nice job. Nice job.
And we had some Facebook comments. Todd asked about Selena's survival, but thinks she's safe. I think that's a good call, Todd. Daryl, our fearless leader, has two theories. I totally think she survives, and he has two theories. Theory one, Bruce was still under the effects of the gas, and it didn't really happen. See, now that didn't even occur to me. I don't know why that didn't occur to me, but that would be a good thing. It really did happen, but for some reason, Ra's al Ghul will save her. This will be the thing that takes her from the Selina we all know and love to Catwoman we know from Batman canon. We know it has to happen at some point, so this is probably it. They really made her lovable, multidimensional, and created a great relationship between her and Bruce this season. So now it's time for that to end in a very sad, gut-wrenching way, no pun intended. I'm not sure about the first part of the theory, too, because Ra's has never said saved Selena in any version of Batman that I'm aware of. But I do think the fallout from this wound, her survival, will be what moves her to the dark side. I hope I'm wrong because I really like the Selina and her relationship with Bruce. They are awesome together, and I'd love it if somehow they became crime-fighting partners.
And then Christopher had this to say, I have another theory, although it is far less likely than Daryl's theories. This episode, for those who don't know, is heavily inspired by the graphic novel and the movie The Killing Joke. In that story, Joker shoots Barbara Gordon in the stomach, which paralyzes her from the waist down. Barbara obviously retires as Batgirl, but eventually takes on the mantle of Oracle, functioning as tech assistant for other superheroes and being their eyes and ears. Given that Selina was also shot in the stomach by the Joker, perhaps she, too, will be paralyzed and will take on a similar role. This was possibly hinted at when she told Bruce in this episode that she would always be there for him. Yeah, I love that part. This is just a thought, though an unlikely one that at that, I admit. I am hoping that this crackpot theory is 100% wrong. I don't want to see Selena reduced to that. Her ability to get herself out of messy situations is one of her, is part of her allure. Just look at that showdown between her and Scarecrow in this episode. Yeah, that was awesome. I also think that even though the show has been known to do its own thing and have characters take on different roles than what is traditional, having Selena be someone else other than Catwoman seems too far-fetched.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, that's a great theory.
Yeah,
I hope it doesn't happen because I want her to be Catwoman. I really want her to be Catwoman, and
yeah, I think she's earned it, and I agree. I really, the line of her turning around and telling Bruce that I'll always be there for you, I'm just like, that choked me up. I mean, I'm just like, yes.
It's so great. And, you know, that is not always the case with her. And I would think that if this is a true thing, if this really happened, this might actually change that statement.
Yeah, I think so, too, unfortunately. If I could see, if she did get dunked in the Lazarus pit, it would change her personality somewhat, if it's something with Ivy's chemicals and plant-based compounds, it could affect. We just don't know, but I don't know what it's going to be. But I'm ready to see what it is.
Me too. I want it to come. But we have almost a week. We still have almost a week. It's crazy.
Yes. But we do thank you so much for your feedback, whether it's on the Facebook group or calls in, written in. And if you want to leave us some feedback, this is how you do it.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to need your feedback. Give us predictions and everything for the next episode. And then we'll do that before. If you send in predictions, we can do that before we give our ratings and stuff. And then reactions afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So send us whatever you want to send us next week.
And yes.
Put it in. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. So here's what's going to happen next week, you guys. Turn us off if you don't want to hear spoilers, but this isn't super spoilery. next episode, the season finale, A Dark Knight, No Man's Land. Jeremiah warns a skeptical Gordon of more destruction coming Gotham's way, and Gordon is forced to make a potentially devastating decision. Meanwhile, Barbara rallies together a team to secure her position as alliances in the underworld shift and prove no one can be trusted. Then, Bruce is forced to come to terms with the future in the all-new A Dark Knight, No Man's Land season finale episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, May 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
That's right. Mm-mm-mm. Exciting!
I know, and again, if you're at all interested in some foreshadowing as to what might happen in the next episode, look at the pictures.
Yeah, we got them up in our Facebook group under the photo set, so take a
they
look.
They are exciting looking, to say the least. There's a couple that I was like, oh my God, you're kidding me, really? And you know which ones I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is amazing that they're doing that. In the show. So yeah, go look at that. Be back with us next week for our next episode, and then we'll probably do a wrap up after that, and hopefully we'll be talking about the novel as well.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we'll talk to you next week.